Going to be sharing today. If we'd have anything on the screen, please, Chloe. We're starting a new series today on hope, and over the next few weeks, we'll be sharing different aspects. And I'm hoping I won't be sharing for too long today, just because I realise time has gone. But I did want to introduce this subject, which I'm quite excited about and looking forward to sharing, not just myself, but over the next few weeks, because hope is such an important attribute that's needed in the world. I was reading Psalms today, well, one of the Psalms, I think it was Psalm 61, and I just before I came out, verse 5 says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." Many verses through Scripture talk about hope. So today, a little bit of an introduction, but I also just want to give a little bit of focus on Jesus actually being the hope of the world. Some well-known Scriptures coming up. From Isaiah 40, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord," some translations put, "those that wait in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." What an amazing promise for those which choose to put their hope in the Lord. Psalm 31, verse 24, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And lastly, Psalm 33, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name." Well, some good Scriptures to start with, and I hope over the next few weeks, those of us which have been running out of hope or finding hope a little bit thin will be re-encouraged actually to put our hope in God. And those which have never had hope or a basis for hope will also be able to put hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians of all people should be the most hopeful. Many outside the church have lost hope and are losing hope. And in the natural, I can understand why that would be. The world can look pretty dark and miserable. The news is full of all the bad stuff. Of course, it's only bad stuff that makes the news. And we hear about the earthquakes, we hear about flooding, we hear about ISIS and the reign of terror which they're spreading across the Middle East. We hear about militant Islam on the rise across the world, and Sharia law and the nasty stuff which gets associated with that. And of course, over here, national debt increasing across the West. I mean, I don't know how many billions America is in debt now, but Britain is also in debt too. And we're struggling to maintain that standard of living that we've got used to, but we can't really afford. And then there's famines, and then there's hunger, and there's coups, and there's the civil wars. We hear all about the dark stuff. But I want to say, Church of Jesus Christ, we still should be men and women of hope, because our hope is in the God of hope. He's not given up on his creation. In fact, he has an incredible plan for his creation to bring everything, all those things I've mentioned, everything under the headship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So even in the midst of darkness, church, we need to be the people of hope. So for us, the future is bright. And I've got my sunglasses, but I've left them down there, so never mind. But we should have something up here. Oh dear, I've lost it. Here we are. The future is bright. That's from Emily, really. And so, you know, we need to put our sunglasses on. We need to realize that there's a bright future for the people of God, and we're to bring that hope into this world. Our trust and our confidence is in him. You say to me, "Yes, Neville, but how can you be so certain that hope, you know, we can be so hopeful, that we can rejoice?" Where do you put your trust and your confidence? And I'll tell you where I put my trust and confidence. Very simply, I've looked at the back of the book. And if you look at the back of the book, I haven't got one, I've got an iPad. If you look at the back of the book, you see Jesus wins. And we win with him. I said, Jesus wins and we win with him. Yeah. So all of this stuff, all of this bad stuff, it's going to end one day. And that's why my hope is in God and in Jesus. Hallelujah. So we hope in him. We trust in a God. When everything's against us, we trust in his unfailing love, which is ever towards us. We trust in his goodness and kindness, because that's who he is. And we can trust in his word. Paul puts it this way from who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, Paul says, in all these things we are still more than conquerors through him who loved us. For he's convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Whatever comes our way cannot separate us from God's incredible love towards me and towards us. Therefore, I trust him and I hope in him. Paul says there, even death itself cannot separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Now, I know we all go through bad stuff. I know we all have disappointments to deal with and difficult circumstances from time to time. But I want to say, church, in the midst of adversity, put your hope in him. Put your trust in him. Don't let your circumstances, don't be under your circumstances, but with the grace of God, rise above your circumstances and say, but I'm still trusting in God. He is my hope. Why? Because no one is stronger. No one has more authority. No one has a higher name. He's our shield, the psalmists tell us. He's our fortress. He's our strength and he's our protection. He's our rock in times of trouble. The writer to the Hebrews tells you that everything in the world is going to shake. And if we put our trust in pensions, if we put our trust in salaries, if we put our trust in bricks and mortar, it's dodgy ground. Everything is going to shake. But we have a kingdom that's unshakable. And Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And that's why I say we should be putting our hope in him. I think I've got these a little bit out of order, but here we go. So first point to make, hope is always in the future. Just looking at what biblical hope is. You can't hope for what you've already received. And all through the Bible, we see men and women, we see the Old Testament prophets and the patriarchs longing, looking for the day of the Lord, longing for what was to come. When they were going through difficult times, they had that hope in their hearts, but it's not going to remain forever because the word of the Lord has promised. And when they were going through good times, they were expecting those good times to continue. They were looking to the future. People say to me, Neville, you should just be happy with what you've got. Why aren't you satisfied? Why can't you be content? Well, I think hope is for the future. If I had everything now, I'd have no hope. What would there be to live for? But I have a hope for the future. So it's quite biblical to look beyond the present. So in the church today, I believe we should be full of hope for the future too. I want to say, Jesus died for more than we're currently experiencing. I'm hoping for a much more testimonies and witness of his kingdom. Catherine, it was so great to hear about that healing. That little lad, and I remember just feeling God wanted us to pray for deaf ears. And we wanted to see more of those miracles. We just want to see more of God coming. That's what my hope is for righteousness, peace, and joy, which is the kingdom of God, to be experienced among us, for miracles and healings, for souls, many souls to be saved, disciples to be formed. I'm hoping for a greater expression of love among the church of God. I thank God for the churches in this town, and we meet every week, 40, 50 pastors and leaders from across the town. It's absolutely brilliant, and together, a greater expression of love, a greater expression of power, that many might find the Lord and come to know him. I don't think this is it. Do you? No, we have a hope, and it's good to hope for the future. All my points, look, I put them in, so they fly in separately, but they're all coming up together, never mind. Point two, biblical hope. What is biblical hope? It's more than wishful thinking. It's more than simply, well, I just hope things will turn out better in the long run. It's more than just having that positive mental mindset and being optimistic in life. You have pessimists, you have optimists, you know, it's much more than that. I could hope to be a millionaire. I think it's quite unlikely. I could hope for that. I could hope to live to 100 in full health. Possible, but unlikely. I could hope that Manchester United win the Champions League next year. I've got to say, it's probably a little bit unlikely too. Because that's all just wishful thinking. And biblical hope is so different from wishful thinking. Biblical hope is based on God's promises. It's based on his word. It's much more definite, much more certain. Biblical hope is a strong and confident expectation of our future reward. Do you like that? Strong and confident expectation of our future reward. That's why I can hope for a glorious, powerful church, because I believe it's God's will and it's spoken of in the scriptures. It's why Jesus died. We can hope, it includes, my hope is Jesus coming back to this earth. But why are you basing that on that? The word of God. My hope is in Jesus returning for a church without spot or wrinkle. Wow. My hope is for eternal life, starting now and going on forever. Where do I get all these optimistic thoughts from? From the word of God. God has spoken. And so I have that confident expectation. So strong, actually, you're not even going to shift me from it. Because that is our hope. And that's what biblical hope is all about. And it's only Christians that can have that strong hope and expectation. That sure and certain hope, as the scripture describes. So church, this is going to be a great series. We're going to be looking at hope. We need hope. You see, we're living in the in-between. We've got the promises, but we've not got the fulfillment. And that's why we need hope. So we've heard the promises, and we're looking to a future, a glorious future. So next week, bring your sunglasses, because the future is bright. It's like getting engaged. I don't know if anybody's engaged here in the church. Not yet married. You've got your ring. You've set a day. You know it's going to come. And that ring, that is a pledge. It's Paul says that's why the Holy Spirit is given. He's given as a pledge. It's confirming that which is to come. And so hope is about, well, we've got the word. We're experiencing something of the Spirit of God. We've tasted something, but we know there's more to come. We know it's definite because we've already got that ring on our finger. But one day, the fulfillment is going to come. One day, we'll be married in that example. One day, the fulfillment of God's promises and blessings are coming our way. Paul tells us a story in the Bible, reminds us of Abraham. Says of Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. And you know, sometimes we're in situations which it just looks totally impossible. We had an example today already with that little boy's hearing. It just looks totally impossible. But the scripture says, against all hope, Abraham believed and so became the father of many nations. He had a word, he had a promise, you will have a son. Well, it's better than that, actually. Your wife is going to give you a son. And he got to 100 years old, and Sarah got to being 90 years old. And he would have thought, the time for making babies is past. How on earth is this miracle ever going to happen? But it says, Abraham in hope believed. And he goes on to say, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He kept hold of that word. He kept hold of that promise. And he hoped. And of course, we know the result. Isaac was eventually born. A miracle took place. That's what hope can do for us. His strong and confident expectation was rewarded with a miracle son. So I want to encourage you, church, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, receive the word of God into your life and have that strong and confident expectation that what he's promised will be fulfilled. Jesus is the hope of the world. We're going to be looking in the next few weeks, the gospel is the gospel of hope. We'll be looking at the local church, hope of the world too. Jesus is the hope of the world. He is the source of all good news. That's why we proclaim him. That's why we worship him. That's why we want to build this balcony up there, more room for more people to hear this incredible message that Jesus can bring hope and life and forgiveness. I want to close really with some scriptures from Ephesians. That's all come up again. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. All of us used to live that way. If you're not yet saved, that's you. That was me. You can't help sinning. We're under the power, we're under the control of the devil. It's normal. Probably your conscience is hardened. You might not even realize that you're living contrary to God's plan and purpose for your life. Your spirit is dead. We were dead because of our disobedience, Paul says. We're slaves of sin, he says somewhere else. It's a horrible picture. It's a horrible picture. And that's why we need salvation. That's where I was at one time. That's where all of us were at one time. But he goes on. He says, but don't forget that you Gentiles, that's us now, you used to be outsiders. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises. You see, the promise is key to hope. You did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. And there's so many people today living without God and no basis for hope. In fact, I don't think if God's not in your life, there is no basis for hope. They know nothing of God. They know nothing of his intentions and his plans for them. James reminded us of the scripture from Jeremiah, you know, when God says, but I've got plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. But we live and they live without God and without hope, as if he didn't exist. But he goes on to say, to the Christians, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. That is the good news, is it not? Once we were far away, but now we have brought close. Once we were without God and without hope. Now we have God, and now we have a hope bursting forth in our lives again. All the promises of Scripture, all the promises which Paul would have been alluding to, given to the Old Testament people of God, now become ours as the New Testament people of God. We inherit, we embrace the promises and the covenants become ours too. Promise of prosperity, the promise of salvation, the promise of blessing, promise of forgiveness of sins, promise of new life, the promise of a great future, they become ours because we've been grafted in to this incredible message, which at one time was just given to the Jews. You see, there's just one people now, saved Jews and saved non-Jews, one church, the people of God. Hallelujah. We found hope because we found God. So, hope for the future, but also hope for us now. Eternal life to come. Eternal life now. Hope of resurrection when we die. Hope of living in victory right now. Hope of the kingdom and all its fullness filling the earth. Every nation becoming part of the kingdom of God. His glory covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. But also hope for that kingdom to be breaking in now. Seeing healings, seeing salvation, seeing deliverance, seeing freedom, seeing miracles being worked in our lives as we taste of the kingdom of God. Everything changes, you see, when we make him our Lord and our Savior. And now we're saved, our future is bright because we have that hope burning inside of us. Jesus is the hope of the world. Hallelujah. So in closing, I just want to ask this question. Is there anybody here? Are you living without God and without hope? Or even if you have some hopes in this life, if you don't have God, maybe you've got a few hopes for a few decades, but when you die, that dies. Jesus came with good news. He came to give you hope and a future. And that hope and that future can start right now. Because when he comes into our life, everything changes. That's why he came and that's why he died, to pay the price for all of the wrongs and make it possible for us to be restored to a relationship with God. And relationship which starts now, the Bible calls it eternal life, knowing God, and it goes on forever. Because when we die, we will be with him forever too. We sang that song, didn't we, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. That concept of eternity, immeasurable, going on forever, us with him. What an incredible hope. Can we stand, please? Just as I close, I'd just like us to lead us into a prayer. You see, he calls us to come to him. And it may be that there's people here who've never heard this message before, and I want to give you that opportunity to come to him for the first time. It may be there's others here which, well, you've come to him before, but you've drifted and you're not living like I've described. You're not experiencing him. There's joy missing. There's peace. There's hope which has gone from your life. So there's an opportunity to come back to him again and just receive all that he wants for you. So he wants you to turn away from your old life, and he wants you to follow him and make him not just Savior, but King of your life too. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and as I pray this prayer, it's an opportunity for you to open up your hearts for the first or the umpteenth time. It's an opportunity just to say again, come into my life, Lord. I want to live for you. So can you please pray this prayer after me? Let's pray together. Jesus, you are the hope of the world. I ask you in all my sinfulness and in all my hopelessness to come into my life. Give me the power to turn from my old way and to live holy for you. Wash away my sin. Make me clean today. I receive your forgiveness. Fill me with your spirit and help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to ask, is anybody here that's either prayed that prayer for the first time and meant it, or prayed it before, but you just want to take this opportunity to recommit back to the Lord, just to put your hand in the air so that I can see you. If anybody here prayed that prayer for the first time or just wants to recommit to the Lord, just put your hand in the air so I can see. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We're just going to close with a worship song in a moment or two. Those two people that put their hands up, I'd like to invite you to go to the Connect table after the service. And there'll be two people there. They just want to share literature with you, just to help you understand, to pray with you. And we'd just like to help you strengthen in your faith there and that decision which you've made. But after the song that we're singing in a moment or two, there'll be a ministry team down here too. And if anybody wants prayer, prayer for healing, prayer for a touch from God, prayer. Maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you just feel disillusioned in life. Then you come to the front, and there'll be a team here which will be willing to pray. But Lord, I just want to pray for those two ladies. I just want to ask, Lord, that you just become so real to them again, that you touch their hearts, touch their lives. Because we know, Lord, that when you come, everything changes. Everything changes. You are our hope. You are our future. And I want to pray blessing. And blessing on the whole church here, Lord, that we may be a church bringing hope everywhere we go. In the workplaces, in the schools and colleges, in the universities, at the playgroups, wherever we might be, that there will be hope just coming out of our hearts and lives, because we know you and love you. And you made us a people of hope because you're our God of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.